Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our New Testament reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Jesus often taught by telling stories and parables. Layers of meaning challenged his first hearers, and they challenge us today. Hear now from Luke's Gospel. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to him to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it down on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the one coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Open our hearts to receiving your word this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pious and religious leaders had noticed that Jesus had egregious table manners, and table manners were a big deal in those days. Who you ate with was a foundation of morality and propriety in Jesus' culture. The Pharisees muttered that no proper rabbi who would associate with the riffraff that Jesus sat down to dinner with. So who were the riffraff? Well, this might surprise you. Women, children, who were considered not important. Then there were the sinners, the real sinners, tax collectors and prostitutes and outcasts, sinners of all descriptions. And in response, Jesus tells two little stories about being lost and found. It was a deviously clever place for him to begin. Because being lost and found in those days was what faith was all about, and the Pharisees knew this. For example, let's take the image of the lost sheep, about a lamb carried over the shoulder by the shepherd to safety. They would have remembered the Passover. They would have remembered being in slavery in Egypt. They would have remembered their longing to go back to slavery they knew instead of the freedom that God provided. And yes, that's exactly what I said. They would have longed to go back to the slavery, the old ways of doing things. This new way that Jesus taught was just too hard. Too much commitment, too unfamiliar. Freedom, you see, comes with a price. The price is always following God's 10 commandments, of which the two greatest, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you think about, for instance, just think about lust, you're already an adulterer. If you think about hate, you might as well pull the trigger. The price of being a disciple in the world that we have landed in, that they had landed in, is steep. A disciple who puts God first and God's commands in all that we do. And furthermore, shares the good news, the gospel story. More importantly, they would have been reminded of the power of being found. To be lost in the ancient world meant to be lost for good. The Semitic words for loss, lost, and destroyed are the same. A person without a home, a tribe, or a God could not survive. A person simply did not make it on one's own and hence would be destroyed. To be found meant literally to be saved. When Jesus told them that the shepherd risked everything to go into the wilderness to find one little lost lamb, they understood the profound implications. When we are lost, God alone seeks us, lifts us up, and carries us to safety. Across the Red Sea, he carried the Israelites. Across the desert where they ate manna, God carried them. Across whatever wilderness that we even find ourselves in today, God carries us when we put our faith in Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't have to say it, but if he did, he might have said something like this. How can you, in light of all of that, condemn me for eating dinner with a few lost souls? That might have been enough to set them straight, but Jesus doesn't leave it there. He then tells another little story that goes like this. There was a woman who lost a coin. She swept her house looking for it. And she found it and invited all her friends to come and party with her and celebrate. Now that sounds pretty straightforward, maybe even a little bit strange. But this story too was filled with images that would have launched the first hearers into a vast sea of experience and meaning. Biblical scholar J. Duncan Derrett unfolds this deep meaning in an article that he wrote called Fresh Light on the Lost Sheep and Lost Coin. It's a remarkable article. He said this, first, lost and found property was a big deal to the Hebrew people. They had developed an intricate system of laws governing lost property. In Jerusalem, there was actually a centralized lost and found system. In the countryside, people relied on the rumor mill of friends and neighbors, which acted as kind of a bulletin board of lost things. It was a sort of ancient form of property and casualty insurance for the protection of the entire tribe, if you will. In the matter of the lost money, because there would have been no way to know to whom it belonged, if one saw a coin on the ground, they did not pick it up. One left it where it was until the rightful owner would find it. Now, it was helpful that coins were not perfectly round. They were concave, like little mishapen dishes. So they were not likely to roll very far from where it was dropped. So, for example, in the story Jesus told, the lost coin in question absolutely had to be in the house, or almost absolutely. I say almost absolutely because there is a hidden drama in the story that everyone hearing it for the first time would have understood. You see, the women of the village would have been in and out of one another's house all day long. This is what they did. They were in and out of their houses all day. And because a coin was not likely to have rolled out the door, anyone who had been in that house would have been suspect to thievery until the coin was found. Now, such thievery would have been a violation of religious law, and a crime against not one person, but their entire tribe. So those who heard the story would have understood right away that this little lost coin hit the rumor mill in a flash. For two reasons. Every single woman would have been promptly informed that this coin was gone. Reason number one was concern for the woman who lost it. Reason number two was self-preservation. You can imagine what would happen to a thief in that tight community. When the text says this, when she found the coin, she called her friends and neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me. I have found my coin." They knew what that party was going to be all about. They were celebrating because they were off the hook. They were free. They were liberated because the coin was found. And one more thing. Jesus underhandedly hooks his listeners with a pun. Did you know that the word for coin is Zeus? It is the same word for a person who is cast aside. Jesus tells his pious critics that everyone is to blame until all are found. All of us are held responsible until all are welcomed in. And no one can be truly free until the last little lost Zeus has had its rightful home in the kingdom of heaven, the welcoming hand of God. So now let's look at what this might mean for us today. This is a day that we remember many losses, and even a personal loss in this church with Sean Schulke. Now, I don't want to take away from that kind of loss that was traumatizing for the entire nation and world. But we have other things that are still lost. We have many lost little Zeus's coins, if you will, today. We have many lost sheep today for a multitude of reasons. Here are some that deeply concern me. I know you know that children have deeply concerned me in what they are experiencing in today's world. In this time, I believe children are lost. And post-pandemic, things have even escalated. They are lost at our borders. They are lost in our school systems. They are lost in our daycares. They are lost in neighborhoods. They are lost even in their own families and even in the church. They were getting lost before, but 2.5 years later did them no favors, and a study reported in Psychology Today before the pandemic states this. 30% of tweens, ages 10 to 12, experience headaches, difficulty sleeping because of stress. 25% of children between 13 and 18 experience anxiety disorders. Depression was the predominant cause of illness and disability for children ages 10 to 19 worldwide. Suicide was the third leading cause of adolescent deaths worldwide, behind traffic accidents and HIV/AIDS. Imagine what it is now. What are we doing about this? The number one thing I believe that many children and tweens, especially that age, are missing, you see, is a good mindset. And in my humble opinion, that is supported by a solid foundation of faith in their Creator. Teaching them that they are deeply loved. Teaching them the skills of strong self-esteem, building confidence, resiliency, and self-leadership skills. Many of these skills are learned in the church with children when we teach them, and in homes where the stories are told about the Old Testament and New Testament people and how they struggle, much like they struggle, much like we struggle, and yet loved so dearly. And how they did things that were right and how they might have done things that were wrong. Stories are amazing with children and for us as well. The lost coins are right in front of us. What are some of the lost coins in our society? I know that there's more that you can think of. How about the lost coins who are elderly. Being on Medicare is no assurance that you will be taken care of properly or even have the health care of choice that you would like to have. Most elderly do not have big retirements to live on. Dunkin' Donuts, I asked for it. Gives us that 5%, what is it, 5% discount? But that doesn't keep up with the cost of living. And the need for more preventative health care that includes integrative and holistic care that can be so beneficial, but so costly. Lost coins, cast aside. These things don't seem to get the attention of the powers that be these days, the very young and the elderly, both ends of the spectrum. However, the stories today are not really about the sheep or the coin. They are not about the woman or the shepherd. They are about God. They are about us as followers of Christ. Jesus irreverently paints a picture of God, the irrational shepherd who abandons an entire flock to seek one poor little lamb that doesn't know his left from his right. And in the grace of God's mind, one little lost lamb merits the shepherd's undivided attention. Jesus gives us an image of God in the poor woman with her lost coin, one little Zeus who has slipped through the cracks due to no fault of its own. Wherever you are, Jesus taught, God is on the way. God is seeking us, the shepherd's crook or broom in hand. However lost today some of you may feel, or those around you that you love, however lost they feel, God has dropped everything for you and for me. God has dropped everything for the least of these, the little ones that we need to find and make sure that they are supported, and the elderly who may not have a family to support them and who we need to support in new and concrete and fulfilling and practical ways as the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking collectively as the body of Christ. You see, this is evangelism at its best. The church that embraces evangelism will grow by leaps and bounds. God will bless that. And I'll be speaking more to evangelism in the weeks ahead in sermons and in Bible study. It is our call from Matthew 28. And the lost ones who are all in the middle between the very young and the elderly, that we need to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, who came and died for us and rose again so that we may live eternally with him, so that we may have abundance of wealth and health as God intends, so that we may know God personally. God is interested in the church understanding its mission is to advocate for righteousness and justice and love and peace, and not until all the little Zeuses are found can any of us truly be at home. And we are the ones, like the shepherd, who will go out to find the lost. That is our job. Today, determine what your part is to help find the lost sheep and coins all around us in this year going forward, to get involved in the community in some way that people can begin to know who we are. Maybe you see injustice happening to your neighbor. Maybe it's happening in your families. Or maybe you see it happening at work. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking us to do in this community of faith? And then go, therefore, and do it. No one should be lost. All need to be found and restored to that loving embrace that God offers us in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is open to all, and God rejoices with us when even one is found. And we, as God's people, are commissioned to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's never changed. That's evangelism. And when we do, as God asks, guess what happens? Just like the woman who found the Zeus, the little coin, we find that joy again. We find abundance as a community of faith again. We find peace again. And we rejoice with God. Are you in? Amen.